Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and Branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
In NASCAR, the only thing that might be better than confrontation on the track is confrontation off of it. And we know how this goes, right? We know what drivers like to do. They get out of their cars, they get face to face, and they exchange words. Sometimes they're exchanging more than that. So we know that storyline. But what about the guys around them, specifically those crew members? What is their role in these heated moments? What are they supposed to do? Are they supposed to be the peacemaker? Are they supposed to be the wingman and get in there with those guys? Are they supposed to stay the heck out of the way? That's what we're talking about today. And we are going to do so with Xfinity Series driver Parker Klingerman. He's going to be calling in later on the show. You'll see exactly why he is. And how about a crew chief from JRM, the crew chief for Justin Allgaier? Jim Pullman is joining the show today. So let's go ahead and get to it right now on DJD Reloaded.
The following is a production of Dirty Mo Media.
Welcome into another episode of DJD Reloaded.
Everybody saw Parker Klingerman, Sage Karam, the ECR guy.
I can't see around this big jug head in front of me. Can we have a conversation?
Is that just a crew member's duty to protect their driver?
Damn, it's stepping up yet to him.
All right, welcome inside the Bojangles studio. We have Andrew Curlin rejoining us for this episode. And we already told you Jim Pullman is in the studio right now. Are you ready for this conversation to be
Absolutely.
Had? Did they tell you exactly what you had to talk about today?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm ready. I love it. Hey, let's go. Gloves off.
All right, we'll tell you what he means by gloves off, but a lot of instances at COTA over the weekend to kind of maybe set the scene a little bit for this, something that Dale Jr. also said on the Dale Jr. podcast earlier this week, but a lot of great storylines from this race and drivers getting into it, but you got to wonder about the crew members. That's what we're really trying to get the answer for today, Andrew.
I mean, we saw tempers flaring over the weekends in the Xfinity race, in the Cup Series race. There was an instance where a crew member got in the way. There was an instance where the drivers were able to talk it out. What is the right way to go about it? I think that's the question we're trying to answer today.
Yeah, it's hard as a crew member. You know, you got a lot of clout in the game. You've worked really hard on that race car. And when things happen, you know, you want to go down there and you want to tat that eye once in a while, you know, and get mad about it.
Yeah, you said gloves off, a hockey term there. So you're a fighter. You're ready to get in there with them.
Yeah, I think I would like to see, you know, crew members that can be able to get in there, get involved, and more or less hockey terms, right? Like punch for punch all the way to the ground. You know, like I feel like the drivers should be able to go at it. And I feel like the crew members should have just as much freedom or some freedom to be able to do the same thing. You know, it's a hard line to walk when NASCAR wants to take away your livelihood if you go too far. But I think to the ground and hockey rules is a pretty good little stopping point.
Is there a time limit on it?
No, I think when it gets too bloody or when you get to the ground is when you got to stop.
You said hockey rules, gloves off, right? That's your stance on it.
Yeah,
say
absolutely.
You find yourself on pit road, either someone's upset at Justin or Justin's upset at somebody. What is your specific role as that moment may be building up?
Well, obviously, the first thing is protect your driver, right, mm-hmm. and stand your ground. And it depends. If you're in your own personal space, if it's post-race where your car is parked, if you're in your pit box during the race, it's a different set of rules, right? You have your own if they come into your space, you have your own set of rules. But, yeah, I like the hockey idea where you get out of the car, get your helmet off, and let's have at it, and it's all the way to the ground. Like this one or two punch, like the Ross Chastain one punch, and Noah didn't get a punch back.
Right.
Like, I don't think that's fair. Like, let's go all the way to the ground. You know, they got full suits on, so they're not going to get the jersey over the head. So it's going to be some nice, clean shots, I think.
Your driver, Justin Allgaier, he seems like one of the more even-tempered drivers in the garage, right? So, like you mentioned, there are moments where certain things will start building over the course of a few weeks. How do you guys handle that when situations come up?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. You know, in race, in the car, you're trying to mitigate and try and get to a finish, right, as a crew chief. You need the points. You got to finish the race. Out of the car, I think it's a different story. You know, if a guy comes over and we got to scrap, well, I'm good. Let's scrap. Like, let's go.
My question, and you don't have to name names. I mean, you can if you want to. But, like, on your team right now, if something were to break out, do you have a guy that you're like, that's the first one that's getting to the scene?
Well, we got Hollywood. And I don't know if y'all know Hollywood, but he's first to the scene on any camera shot.
With a name like that, you've got to be,
yeah,
right?
Right, right. So, yeah, Hollywood's probably the guy. Very passionate, very tuned in with everything that's going on. Been around the sport for a lot of years. Do we have a written rule? No, but I know he's going to be there first, and he's going to take care of whatever situation's going on.
You know what my favorite? You know, we were talking about our favorite fights over the years. You know, Hamlin versus Logano at Martinsville, Kozlowski, Gordon, Texas, the All Star race back in 1989. My favorite is Chicago 2004, Casey Kane versus Tony Stewart. That's my favorite one, Jim. I don't know. Is
I don't know
that
what
your
you're talking about.
You don't know what you're talking about?
No. Yeah.
Were you
Are
in
you
that?
Pleading the
you
fifth
were in
right
that.
Now?
Yeah. Yeah. I might have had a hand in that one.
All right. We need the details.
Yeah. So break
right
this
now.
One down.
Yeah.
Well, so Casey was leading. Tony was running third or fourth behind us on a restart, and it was the rules where you had
And you're on Casey's team.
Yeah, I'm on the nine. You had the rules where the lap down cars lined up in front of you. That was before we did the whole wave around and all that. So they get down into turn one, and Tony gets a run on him, gets to the outside, and ends up wrecking him. Wrecking them pretty good. So we start running down to the garage, and Baldwin got ahead of us. So Baldwin was our crew, Tommy Baldwin's our crew chief. So he got ahead of us, and on our way down, I didn't realize that the 20 pit box was on the way. So by the time we get there, Baldwin is on top of the pit box. Now, he's good friends with Zipidelli, who's the crew chief at the time for Stewart, and they're having a heated conversation. And next thing I know, Shapiro grabs Baldwin by horse collars him off the pit box, and down on the ground he goes. Well, my whole team was behind me, and as soon as that happened, we all went in the pit box because we were in the fire lane watching it all happen. So when they horse collared him off, obviously our team went in the pit box, and then it was just full-on brawl from there.
What's it just like in those moments to be in the mix? I can't even picture this, right? To be in the mix of those fights. I mean, it's got adrenaline has to be super high.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's what we live for as crew members, right? Like, you don't live for the fight, but your hard work, your culmination of the week, everything you've put into that race car, all the preparation you've done to see it come to an end. Yeah, your testosterone is really high, and you're pissed off about it when it happens, right? So when you get in that moments to control yourself, it's pretty hard. I'll be honest with you. Like, there's moments where you're like, okay, I need to take a deep breath. I'm not going to go down there and give them a black eye, even though I want to. You know, it's hard. So you learn over the years. The more experienced guys, you know, you're teaching the younger guys, and you're going through life trying to be a good leader and show people how to race properly, but at the same time, you still got to stand your ground and defend yourself.
I feel it's like raising kids sometimes, right? You're telling stand up for yourself, but there's also limits to that as well. Yeah. Well, Jim, we know that you're a fighter in all of these scenarios, most likely, but we also got some other perspective out there. We asked the fans, what would you do in a fight? Would you be a peacemaker, a wingman, or would you just kind of stay out of the way? So let's go ahead and get to this week's Dale Calls, see what you had to say about this.
As a pit crew member, if my driver gets in a fight, my only responsibility is to make sure nobody else gets involved. Good, bad, or indifferent, my driver did what he did, and if you can't take the heat, stay out of the driver's seat.
Interesting. So just stay out of the way there.
Do you know some other people that would do that, just let the drivers go at it?
I think that we're probably a smaller percentage in today's time. I think that caller is about on point with where the current status of the garage is. as you've seen the ECR guy, he stood in the middle and more or less blocked. Looked like he was just a big lineman blocking in the middle there. I think a lot of people are scared of their job, right? You're scared of what NASCAR might do to you. You're scared of what could come from it. So you're in this position where you want to protect your driver, but you don't want to be the guy that's throwing the first punch either.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like a lot of fans might think this as well. We actually had a poll to put out there as well. We're going to get to that later, but let's go ahead and get to the second caller.
From my past experience, the best thing to do is walk away, let the drivers handle it, because if you get caught up in it, the fines are high and the vacations are long.
Sounds like this guy's got some experience in
sounds
that, maybe.
Like, sounds like he's got some experience in this shop. Sounded like.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like somebody that's been there and had a fine or two.
Yeah, I think so, too. Not fun, though. That's not fun, right?
Yeah.
I mean, fines are not fun, but...
The vacation probably is a little bit more fun. Although, how you earned it, maybe not.
Yeah, the story to tell. All right, let's go ahead and get to the third caller.
Yeah, if I'm a pit crew member, my driver gets into a fight. If it ain't started yet, I'm going to be standing right there with my driver because we're a team. And if I ain't there with him and a fight breaks out with him, then I'm jumping in because I'm protecting my driver because that is my job. We're here to kick ass and take names, put everybody on notice.
And I think a lot of times we see this, right? We see crew members actively, they know when their driver's upset. Kyle Busch, I mean, I know they didn't fight on pit road, but Kyle Busch had a look in his eye as he was going to Christopher Bell. He had a message to deliver, and I'm sure all of his crew members knew exactly where he was going and what he was about to do. So,
yeah, I mean, I seen a lot of C-Bell's guys around, and I was impressed that they didn't step in or get a little closer. That's a hard thing. Like, you don't know what's coming, right? So probably 2 years ago, I was on the 8 car with Reddick, and he got wrecked at the dirt race with Briscoe on the last lap.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I got there, I was the first one there, and here come Briscoe walking down pit road, and I'm like, ooh, is this going to be, like, a fight?
One or those.
Like, yeah, and obviously I'm mad because we got wrecked and lost a race on the last lap, right? So I start to step in between, you know, like I start to step – the interview's going on, and I step closer to Tyler, and the NASCAR guy comes in between. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what's getting ready to happen as soon as this camera goes off, but I'm going to make sure I'm right there when it does, right? And the big NASCAR guy, the hand-to-hand combat guy, he turned and looked at me, and he was like, whatever you do, don't throw the first punch, which their job is they're going to mitigate it, right? They're going to let it start, but they're the hand-to-hand guys, and they're going to make sure it stops. I didn't know that at the time. Obviously, you've seen the result. Briscoe and Reddick have a fairly friendly conversation. They might not have actually 100% agreed, but they had a cordial conversation, and it dissipated. That was all fine and dandy. But, yeah, absolutely. That's a good one that goes right, and then there's bad ones that go wrong. But, yeah, that's one experience that, yeah, that's interesting sometimes.
You're ready to go.
Yeah. Your radar. You got to have a radar to anticipate what's going to happen and just kind of stay on standby.
Yeah.
Andrew, I don't know what you would do in that situation.
I would probably get knocked to the ground pretty quick. Okay, I wouldn't stand a chance.
I mean, you're gonna put yourself in the fight, though.
Oh well, I mean, listen, I'm not that big of a person. I mean, sure, I'll try and break people up. You're talking about me specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Sure, I would probably, you know, I would probably be the peacemaker. I think if I'm making a role for myself, you know, trying to break the fight up. But I don't know. I haven't been in that competition. You know, I could say that now, but in the moment, you could be a lot more upset than what you're actually, you know, would say you would do on paper.
Yeah,
so, I always think about, too, these crew members. They've played football, right? They might have played collegiate sports before. They're used to that adrenaline and wanting to fight after a scenario kind of breaks out. We did tell you, though, that Xfinity Series driver Parker Klingerman is going to join the show. This is a little bit of a timely conversation. If you caught the end of the Xfinity Series race, we're going to be talking about that with him coming up here in just a minute.
Selling a little? or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Well, as promised, Xfinity Series driver Parker Kligerman is joining us right now on location. He's zooming in to talk a little bit more about what crew members' roles are when drivers are face-to-face. Maybe they're going to get in a fight. Maybe they're just going to exchange some words. But Parker, you've got a pretty interesting take on this. We're going to get to that here in just a little bit. But first of all, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. I look forward to diving into this really deep discussion.
So the reason we have you on is because Dale kind of had an interesting take on this earlier this week on the Dale Jr. Download. You and Sage Karam had some words, exchanging of words after the COTA race, the Xfinity Series race this weekend. So before we ask your opinion on all of this, let's go ahead and pull up what Dale had to say about it.
Everybody saw Parker Kligerman and Sage Karam getting into it on pit road after the race. The ECR guy.
Yeah, I
agree
with you.
Stand in the way.
Come on, man.
That was so weird.
Yeah.
And he kept moving back and forth. Yeah. Like he's like, what are you doing?
Let him talk.
They were just talking.
Yeah, I don't get that.
The guy's in his way, and Sage is just like trying to talk to, like, Parker, I can't see around this big
That's
jug
That's probably
head.
Why they were yelling.
I can't see around this big jug head in front of me. Can we have a conversation?
So an interesting take there. Just what's your overall response after hearing that?
I respect his opinion, of course, and I see his point of view, and I love his reenactment of Sage and I trying to talk to each other because that's essentially what was happening. And the ECR engine guy that he's referring to, that is Jake. He's my engine tuner. He is a gentle giant. And, you know, I think in those scenarios, on pit road, high emotions, right? It's probably in everyone's best interest, maybe not the viewers, right? But at least for us internally within the race teams, that two drivers that heated, right, probably don't meet somewhere in the middle. Like that most likely always is not going to end with the best outcome possible because we're both full of adrenaline. We're, you know, super emotional at that time. And I think, you know, for Jake's role there. What I didn't have a problem with was that he wasn't forcefully pushing Sage out, right? He wasn't putting his hands on another driver. He wasn't pulling me, you know, pushing me back. He just simply was saying, hey, I'm just going to play a little bit of block here, right? Like any sort of sport, a little defense, and, you know, maybe for everyone's best interest, not find ourselves in a major altercation, which doesn't look good on anyone. And it worked. Like at the end of the day, we were able to say what we wanted to say to each other, which since then, Sage and I have talked, which I know a lot of people will be disappointed about because they want to see a fight. They want beef. But we have talked, and we've definitely, I think, come to, you know, a conclusion that we most likely, I was more in the wrong, of course, but, you know, we both had a role in participating in what this led to, right? And I think it was, we're both kind of glad we didn't have some sort of altercation on pit road. So I know where we're going to go with this conversation, right, in terms of the role of the crew member. But I sit there and I see all that and I've experienced it. And I think like maybe that was the best outcome. You got a little bit of beef. You got a little bit of flair in terms of screaming at each other on pit road, saying all sorts of things that we eventually took back on the phone. And then, you know, you get the play and the content out of that. But we don't have bloody noses and you know, a bad look on both of us. So I think Jake was in the right, and I think crew members have the right to sort of participate in that the way he did. I don't want to see a crew member put their hands on another driver. I don't want to see crew members involved in the altercation, right? I don't want to see them. If a fight does break out, break it up. Don't be the one swinging punches. That's not fair. But they do have a role in the success and failure of that car and that team, right? And they're invested as much as the driver. I think they therefore have the right to hope to try and dispel a situation or at least stop it from getting worse or escalate because they are as invested in the outcome of that race team into the future past that race as much as the driver.
With what you were feeling in the post-race, do you think that altercation would have escalated had he not been there?
I don't know. I know Sage. So I've since learned Sage is like an expert wrestler. So then Dale, you know, first of all, it's an honor to be on the Dale Jr. Download just like with you guys on the Reload because, you know, I've been listening to the show for a long time and so cool to be here. And I saw Dale, I posted a photo of me at boxing yesterday and literally I've been boxing for a little over 2 years. Like it's my go-to workout. It's like the more often than not, the workout I'm doing during the week is boxing. I just was there this morning. Like I love it. I found it a couple years ago and had nothing to do with fighting as much as to me related to driving in such a close realm in terms of the upper body cardio. And I also don't like wearing spandex and going cycling. So, I thought, you know, it was a great workout for me. So I post this photo. I didn't even think about the connotation of what happened the past weekend. And Dale is like, oh, is this a warning shot? This looks like your, you know, the pre Daytona 500 look I work out sort of photo. I was like, oh my gosh. And it led into a whole thing. You know, I since then have been in boxing. I've noticed obviously there is altercations that happen. And I did sort of a couple months in say to my trainer one time, I was like, you know, the good part about this is I've basically learned how to throw a punch, which I don't think I could have punched a fly, you know, 3 years ago. I'm not a fighter. And the only fight I ever have been in high school was with my best friend and he punched me in the face immediately and it was over. So I don't know if I would have won anything or come out on top of that. So I'm glad it didn't lead that way, but you know, I think you do have to stand your ground in situations where, you know, if it were push come to shove, you know, I think I'd have to try. But I don't know. I don't know if I'm that good a fighter, and I hope to never find out.
Parker, I have two questions for you. First, that fight in high school, yep. Do you think it would have, you know, not happened if there was an ECR engine guy in the way between you and your best friend?
You know, it should have been. If Jake was there, it absolutely would have never escalated. I think we were fighting over the shotgun of the, you know, the front seat of a car and in like a McDonald's parking lot. I mean, it was just as low as it gets. But
yeah,
I didn't have any friends that wanted to act like Jake. And I'm very grateful to have a crew member like Jake and a friend in Jake that would stand there and put himself in between me and another driver.
So my second question here
good
is
motor guy, good motor guy,
good motor guy,
right? Great motor guy, good power and forceful off track. You know, it's what you want out of
him. You know, you mentioned he's a wrestler, right? And you've got the boxing background. So say Jake wasn't able to fully intervene and a fight broke out. What was your game plan in your head in the moment standing there on pit road?
Man, this is like this is like the theoretical, right?
Right.
Of like, hey, what it could have, should have, right? I really don't know. I wasn't. I know this sounds crazy. Here comes an angry driver, and you're not like prepared to defend yourself physically. I wasn't thinking that way, right? I was thinking, I'm replaying the moments in my head of what happened on the track, and then trying to be like, understand what, you know, how I can conceptualize to him like why I did what I did and why we ended up where we did, right?
Parker, I gotta interject. I think I want to throw C-Bell and Kyle Busch in there. So there's no big motor guy in between. And I think if you guys are going to throw hands, I'd like to see it. Like, I don't think that altercation is going to be calm like C-Bell backing down from Kyle Busch.
No, I mean, I was pretty hot. So, yeah, I mean, I can't say. And I don't want, you know, as I said before, I don't want to find out. So I'm glad, you know, I have a lot of respect for Sage and how hard he fights to be there. And he's always up front at the end of these road course races on a part-time deal, which is really impressive. I know how hard that is, right? But some of what led to this, by the way, I don't even think we've been there. People don't even know because they've never even seen it. So basically what happened was I hit him really hard in the turn 15 with two to go because he was trying to slot in behind the 17. I had committed to fire it down the inside. We met in the middle. I shoved him out of the corner, but then in the next corner tried to give him basically the entrance to drive up beside me again and race it out. There he tried to spin me out, which then was the, you know, the notification in my head of like, okay, it's on, right? Instead of just getting bumped, I'm getting almost spun out. That's a big no-no. And it led to what happened off of turn six. But it's, you know, and then we got together through the S's and it was just one of those things where I was trying to bump again and then, you know, all happened. So it's more like that altercation ramped up in such a way, right, on track that you might be right. If it was, you know, who knows what happens if we're just able to be next to each other. But I'm glad, once again, I'm very glad we weren't. And I think that, though, I know from the outside, we would love to see this because the content would be unbelievable. It'd be great to talk about fighting and, you know, drivers going at it and what it, you know.
You've worked on TV. You know the storylines.
And we got, you know, Pat McAfee. They have Kyle Busch on. And the first thing they want to talk about is the time, like, what, 10 years ago, he goes and fights Joe Logano. I'm like, I get it. I know it's good stuff. It'd be awesome. But I also, you know, think there's, you know, you got to, like, for us, we weren't racing for the win. It was for fifth, right? It's like, fighting for fifth, I don't know. That doesn't seem, I'm not sure about that. So I understand fighting, you know, if someone takes a win from you or something really big like that, but in a top five, I know it can be a win, but I think there's better times and places for that sort of thing.
Crew members agree with that?
No.
Nope.
No.
No.
I know, game on all the time, Parker. Game on, buddy.
Oh,
like,
all right.
Here's where I'm at, man. When you wreck someone at Portland and run them off course, I want to tat that eye after the race as a crew member.
So,
I'm pissed off.
Back up there.
Wait. Then when it happens two weeks in a row at Sonoma, it's like, I want to do it again.
We're pulling out the beef right
both
now.
Oh, it's
okay.
On. It's,
you know,
game
what?
On.
If we're going to air this dirty laundry, I think your car continued on both of those events.
We'll let them air this out some more on the podcast.
Sorry, anyway, we went the other way. We won't air the dirty laundry.
No,
it is what it is.
I thoroughly enjoy it, so I appreciate that you did that. Parker, we really appreciate you joining us on the DJD Reloaded today. You also, though, have a podcast. Want to give us a little plug for that right now?
Oh, I wasn't sure. Yes, please. The Money Lap podcast with Landon Castle. We just recorded our latest episode last night. We usually try to record on Tuesdays, similar to Dale Jr. Download. But we talk all motorsports, not just NASCAR. So really fun time. We take really deep dives into sometimes altercations on track, that sort of thing, or track limits, or you name it, within the motorsports world. But we talk NASCAR, F1, IndyCar, all global motorsports. It's a good time. Come check it out, themoneylap.com.
All right, Parker, we appreciate it. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Parker.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, well, so we not only got Parker Klingerman's point of view and much more from that conversation, honestly, but we also did ask the fans on a poll question on Twitter or X, what would you do in the scenario? Where would you be in the fight? What are your thoughts about crew members being in that fight? And we're going to reveal those results coming up. Let's get to the Twitter poll that we put out there. Hashtag don't hold me to it. Yes, we did put out a poll today or this week. When it comes to drivers' fights, where do you stand on the pit crew being involved? So let's go ahead and pull those results back up. And your choices of this were leave it to the drivers, which, wow, 76%. Huge majority, 76%. The other options, get in there and get some. Diffuse, only 7% said that. And then others, you could have written in an answer here to hashtag don't hold me to it, but 1.8%. Does that surprise you at all, Jim?
Yeah, kind of.
Really?
Yeah, I think as a crew member, I mean, obviously I want to get in there and get some. Like, I feel like I got clout in the game.
Did you vote in the poll?
No, I did not. Oh. I didn't know the poll was there. Okay. I should have. Maybe I could have bumped the number up 0.1%. Yeah, no, I mean, it kind of surprises me. Like, you know, I think people feel like the crew members have worked on them race cars and put a lot of effort into them. And for them to not have any clout in the game, now I'm not saying we got to go beat the crap out of each other, right? But I do feel like we should be able to push and shove a little bit without losing your livelihood.
All right, so we know that March Madness is happening right now, and you're probably wondering, why are we bringing up March Madness right now when we're talking about fights on pit road after these races? By the way, four Carolina teams are still in the Sweet 16 as it sits right now, so a fourth of the field out there, so that's pretty exciting. But Andrew, we wanted to maybe take this fighting thing a little bit further in a bracket challenge with some of these Xfinity Series drivers. We seeded them.
Yes.
Maybe based off of some physical traits, how big they are, how strong they look.
Height, weight,
yeah, we didn't go into those details. But we have eight drivers, so eight seeds. The first seed in the Xfinity Series, I don't know if you would agree with this, but it's Austin Hill.
I think that's fair.
I think that's very fair. And then the eighth seed that he would go up against in a bracket challenge. Yes, we're bringing this back to March Madness, but a bracket challenge might be Shane Van Gisbergen, SVG. I think we gave him the eight seed just because he's kind of the newbie in the series, but certainly if you're looking at the size, I mean, this is another big guy, Jim.
Yeah, I'm going SVG.
Whoa.
Really?
Yeah.
The upset in the first round.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think there's too many unknowns with SVG. He, on the outside, he's calm and he looks nice and cool, but we really don't know him yet. And I think when we get to know him, I think he's going to not explode, but I think the more you get to know somebody, I think he's a fighter, man. He, coming from the sports cars, his background, how he raced all the way to where he's at, he's a scrapper. He's a fighter. So I think he outdoes Austin Hill.
This is also a fitting matchup because they got into it
at
the end of the Xfinity race just this past weekend. Should I do the next matchup here?
Sure, give it to us.
Number two, Josh Williams versus number seven, Chandler Smith. This is on the other side of our bracket here.
I'm going with Josh Williams for sure. You can't have hair like that and not be a good fighter, right?
You know what?
you're giving the heart sign.
But yeah, that's the thing. He's all about that peace. Yeah. I think it's got to be Chandler Smith. I don't know if either of these two really would want to fight, though.
No, probably not. Chandler's a pretty good dude. Got a couple kids.
Yeah.
And pretty reserved, right?
I'm just saying, if scrappy, they got in a fight, like, who do you think's winning?
I'm going Chandler.
Really? All the upsets. Wow.
I might.
I think the bigger they are, the harder they fall for Chandler. For Chandler in this situation.
I'm going to go Josh Williams. I changed my mind twice.
Yeah. And you have the bracket filled out. I am just a bystander in all of this. Three seed Sheldon Creed against the six seed Jesse Love. Who you got, Jim?
RCR.
I'm going Sheldon. There's way too much pent-up frustration there. Like, it's coming out sooner or later.
He might need to be seated higher.
Yeah.
You know what's great?
It was
about
a good
this
matchup.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get to the round two in a second. Number four, Parker Kligerman versus, this is very fitting actually, versus number five, Justin Allgaier.
Me? I can't go against my driver.
No.
I'm taking my driver.
Wow.
Justin.
Did y'all fill out the full bracket? Like, who did you have winning the whole thing?
So, my second round, this is amazing. They get to see each other again. It's Austin Hill versus Sheldon Creed. Mm. I have Austin Hill winning. I have Allgaier winning, so it's Allgaier versus Josh Williams. I think Josh Williams wins that. Hill versus Josh Williams, Austin Hill wins it. That's it for me.
The Georgia boy gets it done. That country strong. That's what he looks like.
Big country.
Yeah. Who did you have winning it?
I had SVG. Probably similar bracket, but because I had SVG beating Austin Hill, I had SVG taking it all.
The Cinderella story from Australia.
Yeah.
Number 8 seed winning. All right. Well, we're gonna set this up. Right, we're going to Richmond this weekend.
Yeah,
let's just
great time
right
to...
after practice, we're going to get these 8 guys,
and we're going to be there to be the guy that holds them to it. I just want to see you in that atmosphere and see how you hold up, not necessarily the drivers.
I'll be the wingman. Okay. I'll be the wingman.
See, you started the show by saying you weren't the instigator, and now we've turned you into the instigator.
He can say anything behind a mic, right? Yep. That's safe and
yes,
fair.
Yes, that's right.
All right. Well, Jim, we appreciate you joining us. We're going to go ahead and get to the white flag, tell you about all the Dirty Mo media content that is out there this week. Obviously, the teardown, that was the first one out on the week after Coda, Jeff Gluck, Jordan Bianchi giving us their takes. We had DBC with Connor Zilich. Andrew, what a great guy to have on this week. Such a talent that's coming up into the sport. Really great episode of DBC.
Oh, it was. I mean, he is a freaking wheel man, and I feel like we're going to be seeing a lot more of him. I mean, he's racing some races later on in the year for JRM. It's going to be fun to watch him progress through his career.
Yeah, Action's Detrimental with Denny Hamlin and Jared Allen. I mean, this guy is just growing in fame every time he gets back out on the track. Good to see that. The Dale Jr. Download with Bobby Hillen Jr. Great episode. I just listened to this as well, just learning so much about the history of his career, kind of where he came from. We got Speed Street. We got Dirty Mo Doe. If you want to place those bets, you've got to listen to Dirty Mo Doe first. That is imperative.
Yes, we had Tampa Tims come on the download and tell us all about Dirty Mo Doe. Like, this is the time to be listening to that show, especially with gambling legal in North Carolina. I have not listened yet, but I'm gonna have to listen to Speed Street, because there were a lot of interesting things to be said after IndyCar's kind of all-star experiment over the weekend. Connor, I know, was boots on the ground, so that's going to be one that's worth listening to.
Yeah, a lot of great content this week. We hope you appreciated this episode. Jim, we appreciate it. We also appreciate Parker for joining us as well. We will see you back here next week on DJD Reloaded.
Check out Dirty Mo Media on Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram.